Hallelujah, Jesus. He's called us to doctrine, truth. The soundness of mind, the sanity. I really like that part. Outpouring of the power, Holy Spirit, and family. But when I was reading and studying, I remember when he put the limb of worship on, and I thought that what he really wanted me to know was about worship, but it wasn't. He wanted to open a channel up so I could really, really get to know the Father and the love of God. Do you know how many problems it would take care of? If you really did find out how to receive a steady inflow of the love of God and affect your spirit. We've been made what? A partaker of what? Whose? You've been made a partaker of it. That's what you're from. You've been made a partaker of His divine nature. Now, who can understand each other? Can a duck and a chicken understand each other? No. No. Can the spiritual death and His divine nature understand each other? No. But you've been made a partaker. You're partaking of His divine nature. So wouldn't it stand to reason if you really, really opened an inflow, that as that continued to increase in you, wouldn't it stand to reason that being made a partaker of His divine nature, that you would understand day by day more and more about God? Then God's got blamed for a lot of things He didn't do. And because He was forced to deal with the Old Testament saints the way He did, because you have to remember, they had a death nature, had a sin nature. So He had to deal with them with law. That when we were born again, although He loved them, He was limited in His fellowship by their spiritual death. Well, He loves us. But He doesn't have the same limitations now, because you and I have been made a partaker of His divine nature. We don't have those limitations anymore. When Moses, you know, who is there that's like Moses? Moses prophesied about Jesus and said that He'll be like unto Moses when He came. And he says, and those that will not hear Him will be cut off. Probably nobody filled a space or had a ministry quite like Moses. Because when he said that he would see God, God put him in the cleft of the rock. And when he passed by, he had to cover him up. But of course, the rock was a type of what? It's a type of Jesus. I will know God. I will see God. And he put him into the rock and covered him up when he went by. He saw God, it would have killed him. But when you said, I'll see God, you wasn't put in the shadow. You wasn't put in the type. You were put into Christ Himself. And then when God came by, He didn't cover you up. He stepped in. I have been made a partaker of His divine nature. And I find out the more the love of God increases, it acts as a catalyst between His spirit and mine. the more that He fills me up with love, it starts to cause an interaction between me and Him. I think when I wrote about that, I said, man, you think atomic fusion is strong. I said, it would make atomic power look like a firecracker. When He begins to interact with His power and you really begin to understand it, where do you think the all things being made possible comes from? Well, the love of God's a catalyst and it causes an interaction between you and Him. Then you've got a teacher located right on the line. He's standing in you, but He's operating on the line between you and God, the Father, a teacher. Because of our deficiencies, here we are sitting there with a new nature. Now remember, when you were born again, your new nature didn't come into all-knowing. My new nature is not statistical, it's moral. When I go into a city, unless the Holy Spirit intervenes, I can't get any information outside of what's operating in me. If I know anything beyond morality, it would have to be shown to me. Because that's the nature you got, it's like Him. Your conscience bears witness. Meanwhile, your thoughts accusing or excusing one another. Meaning, anything my conscience accuses, I will not excuse. It's not statistical, it's moral. Any information outside of that would have to be fed to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then again, that's why He's there. Policeman's uniform dictates authority. He holds his hand up, the car stops. He says, come, they go. Where does the Holy Spirit step in if the truck decides not to stop? Stop. I said stop. Something else has to step in. And that's what He does. Well, He's our teacher, and then here He's standing in us, and here's God's. And there's an interaction. We're learning to love Him. Along with morals, we have a capacity and a nature to love. So we're thinking, we want to learn. Well, great men have went before you. I'm glad I'm called to doctrine. I'm glad, even though I'd like to have a DVD of Paul's service, I'd like to just have one that I could look at on a DVD and listen to him preach and watch what he did. But I think his letters had more effect on the world than any. Because it was already when the church began to get into trouble. Who was it that mostly corrected? Oh, the book of Romans is a masterpiece. A masterpiece. It divides the operation of the law between the operation of our walk in the Spirit. And it's absolutely a masterpiece. And the hinge turns between Romans 7 and 8. It's incredible. Hypothetically, he describes a Jew that was delivered the law and couldn't keep it in 7. I speak to them that know the law, he said. So he said, look, I wouldn't even have known sin. Save the law said, thou shalt not covet. But I took Cain, wolf, and I say, listen to me. You're a wolf, but you're living amongst people. You can't eat their cats. You can't eat their chickens, so stop it. He said, well, why? I said, because it's wrong. Oh, I didn't know it was wrong. Well, the fairy tale said, you're supposed to, you know. I come out and he was tearing boards off my house. And I said, Cain, aren't you supposed to blow it down? had feather and cat hair on his mouth, neighbors yelling. There's no atmosphere to live in. I said, now you have to stop that. And he says, why? I said, because it's wrong.
I didn't know that.
It's all much what my relatives do.
I didn't know that.
Well, you should know it because I told you it's wrong. So stop it. Cain sees this big chicken walk by and he says, the good that I know to do, I can't. And the evil I was told not to do. Three or four big swallows. See a whole chicken leg going down his throat, you know. I told you that was wrong. Yeah, well, I couldn't help it. Paul said, I wouldn't even have known covetousness. Save the law said, thou shalt not covet. And he goes, oh, it's wrong? Yes. So stop it. He says, boy, I found out the good I wanted to do, I could not. And the evil I was resisting, I ended up doing. Therefore, it's no longer I that does it, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. So this is the way they teach then. They say you're saved independent of your flesh, you know. You do all that sin, but your righteousness is in your spirit. Because they don't know how to break that verse down. It's no longer I that do it. But it is sin that dwelleth within me. He's talking about, hypothetically, every Jew that was delivered the law and couldn't keep it. He says, man, I want to do it. But it's some nature that's dwelling in me. It's got a hold of me. I can't stop. Well, isn't that something? Wouldn't even a known covetous save? The law said, thou shalt not covet. Well, how can you know what you are when you're born with that nature? How can you know? You don't know the difference. Boy, but the pinnacle, the hinge swung between Romans 7 and 8. The hinge finished turning. He says, there is therefore now. Whew, now to who? There is therefore now to first the Jew he was talking about. Who had delivered the law and couldn't keep it. There's therefore now no more of that kind of condemnation. Because the law of the Spirit of life that was in Christ Jesus, which emanated a new nature, has set me free from the law of sin and death, which is sin emanates from my death nature. Ooh, he goes on to say, look, what the law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son by sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that we can walk after the Spirit now, no longer the dictates of the flesh. Are you free? Oh yeah. I just feel so free. So here we are. We've been delivered to a new nature. It has a capacity to reservoir, pool the love of God like your Father. No limitations. The interaction that begins between that. Then, as you increase, you can look over at Him and know Him and know why He does things this way and does it that way. As it keeps increasing, you know Him better and better.
Well, what kind of places of faith might we attain to?
How does perfect love cast out all fear? Would you esteem that a place of achievement? All fear casteth out fear. Would you consider that faith? I would think so. Having no fear means you're not afraid of anything. That means you could march into the middle of a plague and have no fear. Say, well, Brother Roberson, what is it do you think that's most changed your life? Well, first it would be gaining the knowledge of how to loose the teacher on the inside of me as often as I want, as much as I want, and as long as I want, and just because I want to. The Holy Spirit stands between God and my spirit. He is. He just happened to have that part of redemption. He's come as our teacher, and He'll abide with us forever. So here He is. He's standing between my spirit and God, but He's the teacher. He's the teacher. Incredible. For you that are in a fight, I'm going to remind you, you got your old body. It's got death working in it. It kind of tends to let you know that. When you're a teenager, you think you have forever, and then you're looking back and your bones are creaking. It goes real fast. Trust us. It's nothing you have to be afraid of, though. Hallelujah. One time God hurt me so bad, you know. It's because when I was a teenager, I chased some women. They weren't really women, they were teenagers too. Well, they were women, but never mind. That's what we did as teenagers. We chased girls. And of course, my friend who was raised a EK, which is an elder's kid, he was forced into going to church. So he got me to go when he told me what was there. So while they were immune to the preaching, I wasn't. They were immune to it, not me. I sat in there. I had to be cool, though. How you like it? Yeah, it's okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I said, well, who'd you want to introduce me to? Mm-hmm. So it got to me. It didn't them. And so I told my friend, I said, I'm going to just slip over. And after it was all over, nobody was looking, I slipped over to the parsonage next door, knocked on the door. And I told him what I was feeling like. I said, I really feel bad. It's been bothering me what you've been saying. And I just, he said, you need to be saved, son. I said, saved? Yes, you need to be born again. I said, okay. And he said, get down. I got down in the chair, family chair. And said, oh, God, save him. And then he said, now repeat this. So I said it, and I got real light feeling and felt good and everything. I resisted going out and drinking wine in milk. It works pretty good, your stomach. Anyway, they cruised and drank wine, and I resisted it about a week. I resisted real good, about a week. So I was driving by Benny Hinn's meeting, and I had policemen directing traffic. And I said to myself, if I wasn't a late starter, I'd be doing that. And God said, you're not a late starter. Yes, I am. I didn't even begin to preach till I was 30. He said, you're not a late starter. And I had a vision of that family chair. I'd seen it in front of me. And I said, whoa, he's really taking me back. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm a late starter. He said, no, you're not. I said, but they didn't come after me. Nobody got me filled. Nobody tried to bring me back. He says, the new nature was enough. If anyone has ever made it on the new nature with nothing else, you could have. I says, yes, but I need an excuse. so I says, no, I could not. The new nature was enough. In fact, even the Holy Spirit's hands is tied until after a certain age, He can get you to believe what He's wanting to do for you. She says, my new nature was enough. And I went, no, I'm a late starter. And He says, no, you're not. It was enough. And He was right. When I repented and quit offering excuses, everything changed. The next time I tried to offer an excuse, I'd be a whole lot further along than I am if the devil had not taken me out of prayer. All of a sudden, a voice from heaven, He didn't take you out of prayer. Yes, He did. Oh, yes, He did. He said, really? Then if He took you out of prayer, how'd you get back in? Wish you'd quit using your own wisdom. Can't you reason on my level? He said, how'd you get back in? Well, if He took you out, then He could keep you out. I mean, if He's stronger than you and caused you to walk away from me, prayer. Gee, how'd you get back in? If you got back in, that means you had to be stronger than Him. So that means you quit. I never. He took you out. He didn't have the power to take you out. You took yourself out. Okay. Another repentance with freedom to follow. Hallelujah. You got to remember, you're going to stand before Him and your wife's not going to be holding your hand and your whole family doesn't go up at once. Your cat isn't going to be there either. So if you're going to blame everybody, you better do it now. It will not hold water there. It's not my fault. Yes, that's right. It's not. I made you weaker than everybody else. Remember when the disciples asked Jesus the question, this man who's blind, whose fault was it? His parents or his? And they had a teaching, a doctrine, being born in sin. You know, that he'd end up blind. But obviously, because he was born in sin, they said, you were born in sin altogether and you're trying to teach us, Pharisee said. But they did ask him whose fault it was. He says, not his nor his parents. But the essence of what he was saying there, he just had the misfortune of being born to a spiritually dead generation. Now, even then, knowing their rights and covenant rights, they could do something about it because he cut a covenant with them and covered it with the blood. So you could believe for your family, believe for your children, like we can. But all kinds of things is happening. I mean, those babies don't ask to be born with no arms or no faces. I've seen a baby that he, for his mouth, his whole face caved into his mouth. And there was just insinuations for the eyes and some, they supposed to be in the nose. It just all caved in, just a mouth. That was his whole face. He had ears. He could hear it. Who chose that? People say, oh, our spirits are created in heaven, and this preacher's even preached that they was caught up and went to heaven and seen where little babies are created, their spirits, before they send them to mama. Yeah? Yeah. Well, tell me. What, do they have a committee of angels to decide where the baby goes? Oh, we'll send this one to no face. How about this? And no arms here. No. He told him to replenish the earth What makes us different than any other species? Angels can't procreate. Animals do, but they're not eternal except the ones that already live there. Horses. Big white horses. If they don't procreate, angels don't procreate. Yet we're sons and daughters of God by our own choice. We have children. That puts us in God's class as much as anything. That little child is an eternal creature. They'll be somewhere forever after the first division. Well, see, even Eve. I mean, the whole human race came through the blueprint of one strand of DNA. And that was Adam's. Eve even came through Adam's DNA. She's the mother of how much living? And it's through this law of Genesis that He gave us this privilege of family to bring forth children. So, back. He said, no, the devil didn't take you out of prayer. He's the one that maybe talked me into doing it. But he didn't have the power to take me out. And I had enough in the new nature. I had enough to walk away and serve God. Enough have done it. But now we have more than that. We have the Holy Spirit standing in as our teacher between Him and God. Did God leave any stones unturned? I don't think so. Some of the most common quoted verses is, the Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth, and Thy word is truth. Yet we know revelation knowledge isn't automatic by merit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit alone, because all you have to do is get a bunch of Pentecostals in the same room and they cannot agree with each other. And we have one Bible, one Holy Spirit as teacher. Who's causing the problem? Him or us? I mean, like any good father, He has provided to the maximum. He sent us a teacher. Well, it's not enough to let Him abide. Do you know the price heaven paid for your individuality and right to make choices? It's the most costly thing heaven has ever sustained. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is going to overpower you after the price that's been paid for us to be free will? If you don't want to be taught, you won't be. So the devil knew the danger of the Holy Spirit evaluating your life and creating the prayer that you need. Because He's God and He's omnipresent. You think that your whole world isn't His whole world? Just because He's dealing with every other human being, you think He doesn't have time for your whole world? You think He doesn't know everything you're called to do and be? The whole nine yards? He knows it all, and He's got the time for you. So here He's representing me. At the same time, you. Come on. And if we don't want Him to teach us, He won't. We won't allow Him to, He can't. But God said, just in case, and the devil, you know, he's really nervous about it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He says, we're definitely going to have to step in and stop this. If we don't stop this, we won't be able to control the born-again populations of the body of Christ, where they'll have no revival. More people will surely go to hell than heaven. We can get this done. We'll indoctrinate them against this fourth of the diversity test, this simple, misunderstood, little common language He uses to pray your life out so He can answer it. Am I preaching on praying again? So now think. Think. People are full of the Holy Ghost. They're not taught. I mean, if you want to go on believing something real dumb, hurting people, being angry and mean, you can.
And speak with tongues?
Yeah. Sure. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which is love in action, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You sound like a real loud drum set that isn't getting anywhere. So I came into one meeting and the preacher saw me. That's where he took his text, 1 Corinthians 13. You can pray in tongues all you want, and if you don't walk in love, it won't do you any good. That's not what it said. It said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me nothing. Meaning, oh, I can speak with tongues, okay, and still be mean. But one thing you cannot do, habitually pray and stay that way. Can't stay that way. It keeps bringing you back around to look at yourself. Have you got any experience? Oh, do I have any? I've retired two or three times from that lifetime. Do I have experience? Yes, I do. But think. Think. We get to activate the teacher in us on purpose as much as we want, as often as we want. And the more you activate him, the more hungry you're going to get to offer your soul on the altar of God's word so you can feed from every direction. You just get hungrier and hungrier, hungrier. You can hardly take it sometimes. Hallelujah. I said, outside of discovering praying in tongues, which bottom line is a foundational revelation gift. Personally, it includes your life in the revelation. Your call, the measure you hold in the body, what you're called to be and do. It's all contained. But in addition to the revelation gift, which I found early on, which limb, fasting, confession, they all have been real powerful. But which limb has affected you the most? I would have to say the one that causes an interaction between me and God with the catalyst of the love of God. Anything that hadn't dropped off yet got addressed. Fear, peace. That when you know Him, when you really know Him, what do you got to be afraid of? Do you think that when Philip went into the desert, Gaza, that he, when he met up with the eunuch, he says, what prevents me from being baptized? And he jumped out and dunked him in the water, pulled him up. And suddenly Philip was caught away. And his flight was only about 30, 35 miles for him. Trinity Airlines. I mean, he'd crossed the desert to get there. That was no problem. He found himself standing in Astos, a city further to the coast. So here he is. And so he starts preaching and started going up through the cities up the coast. But why now? Why? I mean, picks him up. All of a sudden, he's gone. Why? Trinity Airlines. I'll tell you why. There's nobody on any remote island anywhere that doesn't look face towards heaven and say, I want to know the true and the living God, that He will get somebody to you.
They don't have boats.
No, they didn't have desert boats. He'll get somebody there. There's all kinds of theological questions that people ask. They don't know God that good, so they don't understand. They're like somebody just never heard nothing. He got isolated over here and caught up into some witchcraft or something, and he never heard anything. And nobody's ever come and addressed them, and where do they go? That doesn't seem fair. See, when you reason through like this, is why a guy like Carlton, he just can bear it. And so he come up with this gospel of all-inclusive. And what makes it so interesting, some Pentecostal will challenge him. Need somebody like Paul to do the challenging. He'd do some judging to follow it. I'm turning you over, boy. You're not going to see the light of cameras for a season. That'd be an extreme act of mercy, wouldn't you say? Extreme act of love. Went way beyond to mercy to recover that guy. And listen, in this revival that's coming, these guys are coming back. They are. He has to have it to finish perfecting the church per se to come and take us out. One reason God has trouble judging. It's the same old story. He still needs somebody to do it with. It comes to people. But I tell you, Alamos, the sorcerer, Bar-Jesus, and Sergius Paulus, the deputy of Cyprus Island, that Jewish witch doctor, like I said before, I would much rather be the Jewish witch doctor that was judged by Paul and was blind for a season and I've been in heaven for 2,000 years than one where God didn't send somebody with His mercy. Yes. Carlton, you know, you big void place in God. You're looking, somebody build a bridge across to Him so we can see why He does things. So he built a bridge. When James said, be not many masters, it meant teachers. Receiving the greater condemnation, if a man offend not in word, he's taught about doctrine. Not your little fights. The same as a perfect man and able to bridle a whole body. Well, is he talking about this? I can talk it out of disease. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But he was talking about a teacher can put a bit in a horse's mouth and he's much bigger than a man. And he can lead the horse around. Helm on a giant ship can be turned into storms and out of them. By who? The teacher. Tongue is small member. The kindling it creates can tire forest fires. Burns forest. Bitter and sweet water can't flow from the same fountain. One neutralizes the other. Doesn't work. So teachers will receive the greater condemnation. Why? Because not only do you take yourself there, you take a whole lot of people with you. And you wouldn't want to be around. See, this is why I'm talking about what limb, would you say? Because of the interaction between my spirit and His, and I get to look over at Him, and step by step I'm understanding more and more why He had to do things the way that He did. Don't think that produces faith. Whew. Can you give us a little idea? Yes. How many can remember when you was a teenager? Some teenagers led others into great moves, like the beatnik. beatniks were before the hippies. Hey, man. Hey, man. Sitting around coffee shops, smoking dope. You know, hey, man. Woo. I'm not going to work this life away. Hey, man. And their big complaint, the big complaint, you know, was the yuppies. And now, you know, a lot of hippies are yuppies. They're greed grabbing. They hit one of those poncho bags and greed falls out. What do they call that? Pinatas. Greed falls out. Pow, pow. But boy, they was a rebel, and they led a rebellion against it, materialism. And why? Well, you know, that's what you do at that age. You rebel. I can remember. I left home. I wasn't home very much. But just a couple of days after I was 18, I've never been back. And I didn't like, you know, Grandpa was going to maybe leave the farm with me. I didn't want the farm. I know that's what you're supposed to do. But I can tell you, teenagers are the same all over the world. And that's a good thing when they rebel against a religion they're steeped in. And they want to know the truth. Whether it be witch doctor, Muslim, I don't care. But I can tell you this. Anybody, anywhere, that looks up to heaven and says, I really want to know the truth, God will get somebody to Him, even if He's the only guide stranded on a remote island. A bottle will come with the salvation plan. Some angel would say, would you like to get off? Yeah, well, please don't tell people about this too early until you can explain it. But no. No, most rebel somewhere along the line. And if they do that and look up to heaven and want an answer, then God will get the answer to them. Plus, He keeps trying to get you and I to go everywhere in all the little nook and crannies and caves and crevices and flush everybody out and say, look, I got something to tell you in case you come to this place where you want to get born again if you don't get it now. Now, take me to your sick. Let's have a showdown. He wants us to reach the world. Hallelujah. Well, what would you say, Brother Roberson, that or those limbs that he put on from praying in tongues, fasting? Ooh. It'll make you swear a bunch of oaths one day and break them the next. I mean, when you put it up on New Year's, you feel safe. It's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to fast this whole year. And I'm going to... Oh, no, no, I'm gonna kill. It gets there. The hours get long. Everything settles down. But it'll make you want to do it. Study the power twins. Fasting. This kind cometh out not but by fasting and prayer. Whew. By the time we're done. I mean, you know what I used to irritate the church on a feast day like Thanksgiving or Christmas? I'd preach on fasting. Do you remember back? I don't know. Maybe I've been delivered. Whew. And of course, level after level, as you know from the book, he very carefully through those years put the prayer limb on. You know, and I know about confession. See that we think we're moving God into doing something that He already paid. Hey, maximum price. His love was maxed at the cross. Deity was maxed. He has nowhere else to get any love. He's Lord God Almighty. There's no place He can go to get any more. And all of it was poured out at the cross for you. He maxed His love for you there. So I know about faith. I know He's already healed me and He's already delivered me and He's already prospered me. I know that. So what happens when I keep calling myself healed and prosperous? What happens? Well, God's moved by faith, but the faith from you. But we're not moving God into doing something that He don't want to do. Saying it 1,000 times isn't going to make Him decide, okay, one more, 999. Say it. You're scheduled right here on the 100th time. Come on. Say it. You'll talk me into it.
I'm healed.
1,000 times all of a sudden the healing comes. No. In confession even, as He taught us. He says, ministering to yourself. Who am I ministering to? To myself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in my heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you doing? I'm worshiping Him and quoting His word and thanking Him for what He's done to me. I don't talk Him into do it. I talk myself into believing it. That's the way you build. Well, I loved faith. And we taught that part out. Then the born-again trail came. Where it was a positional teaching where we really find out who we are and why we can believe. Straighten so much stuff out. And still going on. And then the grace that He's given us in His standing is just as powerful in blessing as it is in healing. And I remember the day we walked out and established that limb and thank God that God gave Gary that limb. But then it started when I saw a medieval door with a master lock and it was locked up. Revival's the other side of it. After He began to open up the love of God to me, then one day I saw it again and it was cracked. The lock was off. It was cracked. Light was coming out from behind the door, and He said unto me, preachers will quit falling from this place. And I have been stepping into it from that day forward. We talk about that a little bit, what He did. And what do you say that's most changed? And I say, well, it was the revelation gift, praying in tongues, that delivered me to this limb. And it is one of them that has most affected my life. The love of God. Hallelujah. I wonder what text I had. Oh, let me see. Oh, wow, I got it open in a good chapter. Matthew 18. It's really good. However, we'll have to wait till the next service. I talked the hour. Had no trouble. Do I ever? Well, perfect love casts out what? How do you think you'd be in the realms of forgiveness if He's walking in that kind of love? Well, what would happen if you don't want to walk in forgiveness? That's what this chapter's about. So I think you'd rather heard the good side than the bad, right?